Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Chav Dalet. We begin at the Tana Rabbanan, which is found 13 lines from the top of Chav Dalet Omer Aleph. We continue to learn every single day, every single second, we're davening for all of the precious lives in Eretz Yisrael to be saved, for our holy Chayalim and the Kochas HaBitachon, all the Hatzalah people, all the EMTs, they should be safe, they should be successful, they should bring back the hostages safe and healthy as soon as possible, Be'ezras Hashem. Those who need a refuah shlema should have a refuah shlema, and Rachmana Litzlan, those that are suffering terrible korbanos losses, Hashem should find nechama, Hashem should give them nechama. Okay, we pick up, our learning is the best thing that we can do for them. Tana Rabban, we pick up again 30 lines at the top of Chav Dalet Omer Aleph. Tana Rabban, we learn the Braisa, Ezel Muad. What is the definition of a Muad? Now, we've given definition in the Mishnah, we had Rav Yehuda, and then we had the opinion of Rav Meir, and now we'll see two other definitions, Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, that basically take half of Rav Meir and half of Rav Yehuda, each of them. So, the Braisa starts off, it tells us the opinion of Rav Yossi. Kol Shehi Idu Bo Shlosha Yomim, anybody where there is on three separate days testimony that his ox has a goring ox. So therefore, that turns that ox into a shor muad after the third time, or we have this machlok Abai and Rava, either for the fourth time, like Abai says, then you have to be a damager of muad status and you'll pay the Nazik Shalim, or even on the third time, according to Rava, you'll already start paying Nazik Shalim. Now, this opinion is exactly the same as the opinion that we had of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, the Tanakam in our Mishnah. So, you need three consecutive days, kol she'idu bo shlosha yomin. But, the second part of this statement, which will be attributed to Rabbi Yossi, the Tanakam in the Braisa, v'tam shu'atinokos mimash mishin bo v'enu nager. The animal loses its status of a muad, reverts to being a tam, if children are bothering it, children are touching it, and annoying it, and it doesn't go in gore, so then it shows that it's lost its muad status and reverts to being a tam. Now, this is the opinion, Divrei Rav Yossi, but this second part of Rav Yossi's statement was actually the opinion of Rav Meir in the Mishnah. So the first part of Rav Yossi's statement is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and the second part is the opinion of Rav Meir. Now, Rabbi Shimon does the exact opposite. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Muad, kol shawidu bo shalosh pomim. You just need three times. It could be the same day three times, which was the opinion in our Mishnah of Rav Meir. And Rabbi Shimon agrees with that. But in order to revert from being a Muad to being a Tam again, where do you need 3 days? That it has to not go for 3 days in order to revert from being a Muad to being a Tam. That is the opinion that we had of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. So Rabbi Shimon is half Rav Meir, half Rav Yehuda, the exact opposite half that Rav Yossi was, half Rav Meir, half Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ada Bar Abba, Rav Nachman said the name of Rav Ada Bar Abba, how do we paskin? Halach Rav Yehuda b'muad? Shari Rav Yossi b'odilo. We paskin like Rav Yehuda in regards to that it takes 3 days in order to qualify a shor as a shor muad, not three times, which was the opinion of Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah. And the reason why we paskin like Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah is Rav Yossi agrees with him. And we follow the opinion of Rav Meir in regards to how do you revert to being a tam, in regards to bitam, that we had said, that you revert to being a tam if the children are bothering you, and the ox doesn't gore, so that means it's reverted to being a tam. And in that situation, we passing like Rav Meir, because Rav Yossi holds like him. So the obvious question is, if we're passing like Rav Yossi, why don't we just say, halach is like Rav Yossi? So Tosus brings this question down in Dibra Maskel on a Rav Yossi Sirule. V'had lo kamar halach Rav Yossi. Just say halach is Rav Yossi. Yes, Rav Yossi does hold like the opinion of Rav Yehuda for Shlosha Yomim, and he does hold like the opinion of Rav Meir that you revert to being a tam when the kids are bothering this ox and it doesn't gore. So instead of saying that, just say we fasten like Rav Yossi. So the Tosus says, Mishum denichale leminaket tanoi demastisim, because the Brice is not as well known. So if you were to say that Halach is like Rav Yossi, people may not know that. But if you say that Halach is like this sheet of Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah, and this sheet of Rav Meir in our Mishnah, so then we'll know exactly how we paskin. So therefore, that's why we said it in this way, that Halach is Rav Yehuda b'muad shari Rav Yossi modelo, and Halach is like Rav Meir b'tam shari Rav Yossi modelo. We're asked the obvious question, why not say that Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon? Why do we paskin like Rabbi Yossi over Rabbi Shimon? Someone like Rav or Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman had said this, so Rav asked him, no, why doesn't the Rebbe say, why doesn't Rav Nachman say, Halacha Rav Meir, b'muad, shari Rav Shimon modelo? Why did you pick the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? Because Rabbi Yossi holds like him. You could have two people, Rav Shimon and Rav Meir, that you could have followed, like, and you should have said, why didn't you say halacha remeya b'muad shari Rabbi Shimon modlo? Say it's 3 times and not 3 days. And likewise, you could have said halacha Rabbi Yehuda in regards to what makes you revert to being a tam. It's 3 days. Halacha Rabbi Yehuda b'tam shari Rabbi Shimon modlo. That Rabbi Shimon says that you have to have 3 full days, and not just the kids were bothering the shore and it didn't gore. So why didn't he say the halacha like Rabbi Shimon? So Amalei, I know Rav Yossi Sivalei, because he says, I always hold like Rav Yossi, because Rav Yossi is famous throughout Shas, Rav Yossi Nimuko Imo. As Rashi points out over here, and Rashi says in many other places as well, that Ta'amav Urayosov Imo, he was always very medactic, he was very rational, he was very reasoned, and he always brought all of his proofs, and everything was laid out and ordered. And therefore, we paskin always like Rav Yossi. In fact, Rav Yossi, even against the Rabbin, we sometimes passing like Rav Yossi, even against the Rabbin. The only Tana that we really say that for. Well, the other Tanaim, we have this Tana, we passing over that Tana. But usually, Yochid against Rabbin, we passing like the Rabbin. But sometimes even Rav Yossi, because Nimuko Imo, because he was so careful and punctilious about getting the Psak right. So therefore, we sometimes passing even against the Rabbin, we've passing like Rav Yossi against the Rabbin. So that's what Rav Nachman said to Rava. I'm passing here like Rav Yossi. And he has a split Shita. He follows like one opinion of Yehuda and the other opinion of Rav Meir, that's fine. We pass it like Rav Yossi. Now the Gemara asks a very important question, which we'll spend most of the rest of the shir on. Ibailu, they answer the base medrash, that which we said, the Shlosha Yomim, which is the way we pass it like Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, Shlosha Yomim Diktani, that which we said, that you only become a Muad after 3 days, the Agus Gur 3 separate times, what's the purpose of that? Liyaude Torah, is that to designate the ox now as a shor muad? Or is it Liyaude Gavra? Or is it for the person to know that he has an ox that is a muad ox so he can go and protect it in order that it shouldn't gore? Now, seems to be the same thing. L'may nafkamin, the Gemara asks, what difference does it make whether you're saying it's the ox that is a muad or the owner knows that he has a muad ox? So there's a huge nafkamina. What's a nafkamina? The asu tlosa kite sahade b'chad yoma. If you have 3 separate sets of witnesses that come on the same day, Tosus points out, lav davka have to be 3 separate sets of witnesses. It could be the same set of witnesses just coming 3 times. But it's nice and simple to keep it with 3 sets of witnesses because that's going to fit in well with the Gemara later on. So you have 3 sets of witnesses that come on the same day to say that this ox had gored 3 separate times. Now, what's a nafkamina? So here are the 2 possibilities. If you're telling me, Iamris Liyaude Sora, the purpose is to make this ox as a muad ox, miyai, so then the ox is the muad ox, regardless of whether the Balaam know about it or not. So we have 3 witnesses that say, yeah, this ox, 3 sets of witnesses that say, this ox gored on Sunday, gored on Monday, gored on Tuesday. Boom, it is a muad. And now, either if you hold like Rava, on the 3rd time that it gored, you have to pay Nezik Shalem, or on the 4th time, like Abayi, you have to pay Nezik Shalem, so that doesn't make any difference whether the owner knows about it or not. However, the Yamris Liyaude Gavra, but if you're telling me it's to let the master know, hey, you better watch your ox, it's a muad ox, so then lo mayayid, it's not going to become muad if the owner doesn't know about it. And therefore, Neymar Amar Hashta Hudika Basadi B. Because the owner can say, hey, I didn't know about this. What do you expect from me? How's I supposed to watch it? And therefore, my, that's the nafkamina. Now, I'm explaining this to you like the Gemara is about to explain it in the simplest way that you can understand it. There are many different approaches over here. And the approach that I'm giving you is not just, agreed upon by everybody. There are many questions on this approach, but is, in my opinion, the easiest way to learn this Gemara. And therefore, a way that we're going to learn it. Realizing that there are many questions on the way that I'm learning it, some of which you may come up on your own, and Tosas is a totally different way of learning it. But this, in my opinion, is the simplest way for us to do the basic Gemara Rashi, albeit with not a clear understanding over here of the Rashi, because there are many different ways to understand this Rashi. In any event, the Gemara now says Toshma. Let's see which of these 2 ways is right. Ein ashor nase muad. The Braisa tells us that a shor doesn't become a shor muad. You have to go and testify that the owners know about it, and it has to be testified in front of Beis Din. If you only did 1 of the 2, hey, Dubo, Bifnei Beis Din, if you only told the Beis Din, but Shalom Bifnei Balim, but the Balim don't know about it. Well, the other way around, Bifnei Balim, Shalom Bifnei Beis Din, only the Balim know about it, but the Beis Din doesn't know about it. So then, Eino Nase Muad. The Braisa tells us the ox doesn't have the status of being a Muad, that you be Chayiv Nezik Shalim. You only have that. When you have both, you need to have the testimony in front of the Beis Din and the testimony in front of the Balaam. The Mefarshim bring down that this is repeated over here. Right, we already said at the beginning that you need both. Why does it say at the end that you need both? It's to emphasize that you absolutely, under all circumstances, must have both. In any event, the Braisa continues and says, what happens if he'iduhu shnayim barishona, u'shnayim bashniya, u'shnayim bashlishas? Here we definitely have three sets of witnesses. You have witnesses 1 and 2, 3 and 4, and 5 and 6. And witnesses 1 and 2 testify about the first time it happened. Witnesses 3 and 4 testify about the second time it happened. And witnesses 5 and 6 testify about it the third time that it happened. Now, harei kan sholosh edios, it's three separate edios. However, in regards to the dinim of hazama, it's one testimony. V'hein edus achas lihazama. Now, what do we mean over here? So the rule is by hazama. We have a famous idea that the Torah tells us to believe the second set of witnesses rather than the first set of witnesses in a case of hazama. Under normal circumstances, you have two sets of witnesses, Reuven and Shimon say one thing, and Levi and Yehuda say another thing. So then they're Edim HaMachshishim Zadzeh. They're two sets of witnesses that argue with each other. So there's no reason more to believe Reuven and Shimon than there is to believe Levi and Yehuda and vice versa. So therefore, we don't believe either of them. We say that you're no more correct than they are. They're no more correct than you are. But there's a special din in the Torah that says, if the first group, Reuven and Shimon, say, on Tuesday morning, this event occurred here in New York, and along come Levi and Yehuda say, how could you say that this event occurred here in New York on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock? You were with us in Chicago on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. So then the Torah gave special dispensation that we believe the second group, the Edei Hazama, to go and say that the first group are Edim Zomimim. And therefore, here, the Torah believes the second group and does not believe the first group. And in this situation, Kasher Zomam Lasos, whatever they tried to do, if they were trying to say that Yankel owes Yitzhak $100, so now they have to go pay that $100 because they tried to cheat Yankel out of $100, so they have to pay Yankel $100. And similarly, whatever they tried to do to one of the two litigants, so that's the punishment that they're going to have. Kasher Zomam Lasos Ken Yosef. Whatever they tried to do, that's what is done to them. Now, when you have these three sets of witnesses, witnesses 1 and 2, the first set, witness 3 and 4, the second set, witness 5 and 6, the third set, so each of them is obviously trying to make the Mazik have to pay the Nizak. So let's say the Mazik is Reuven and the Nizak is Shimon. So they're all trying to get Reuven to have to pay Shimon. Now, if they're all independent, so that's just Chatzi Nezik because they're all at this point claiming that it's a Tam. So the first set of witnesses saying it's a Tam. Second set of witnesses saying a Tam. Third set of witnesses, according to Rava, would say that it's Nezik Shalem. We'll get to that in a moment. But if you're talking about the Nezik Shalem aspect, so then all three of them are one unit. Because without the first set of witnesses and the second set of witnesses, the third set of witnesses can't make you pay Nezik Shalem. So in regards to Hazama, Hain Eidus Achas Liazoma. In regard to the testimony for the Chatzi Nezek, Harikan Shalosh Eidios. Witnesses 1 and 2, they're trying to get Reuven to pay Shimon, the Mazik, to pay the Nizak $100. So that's Chatzi Nezek. That's the, if they say this happened on Tuesday at 10 o'clock in New York, and the witnesses come along and say, no, you were with us in Chicago at 10 o'clock on Tuesday, so then they would only have to pay Chatzi Nezek, because that's all they tried to do. And the same thing with the second set. However, once the third set comes along, we're talking about Nezek Shalem, you need, in order to make Nezek Shalem, the first and second group all acting together. So therefore, what the Bryce is telling us is, for their individual Edus, yeah, the separate Edus. So if you slug up, you know, 1 and 2, it doesn't mean you slug up 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. However, in regards to Hazama, they're all considered like one group. And therefore, until you maze them, all six of them, the three sets, so then there is no din of Hazama for Nezek Sholem. So, Nimtzes Kas Rishonim Zomemes. Let's say the first two, 1 and 2, they're found, they said that this occurred on Tuesday at 10 o'clock in New York, and the Edei Hazama come along and say, no, you were with us in Chicago Tuesday at 10 o'clock. So the first group is found to be Edim Zomim, so we still have two groups left, 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. Harei Kan Shnei Edios that are perfectly good. V'hu Potur V'hein Peturin. In this situation, the person who owns the goring animal, the mazik, is certainly not going to have to pay nezek shalem because you don't have three times that he's a muad. But we don't make the first two witnesses who were found to be hazama, they were mazimed, so they're edim zomim. So in that situation, we don't make them pay yet the full damage. They'll have to pay the half damage because that's what they tried to do, but we don't make them pay for the full damage yet because 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 have not improved to be false. No, Nimtzes Kashdia Zomemes. Now, 3 and 4 were also found to be Edim Zomim. They said this occurred on Wednesday at 10 o'clock in New York, and the Edim Hazama come along and say, no, well, you was in Chicago on Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Ah, now, the second group was also found to be Edim Zomim. Nevertheless, Harei Kan Edus Achas, the third group, numbers 5 and 6, the witnesses, they're still perfectly good. The Hupat Vehem Turim. So, in this situation, the Mazik certainly doesn't have to go pay up. The third masik time, the one that the testimony of five and six came, certainly not going to be nezik shalit because there's only now one set of witnesses, so it's still a sure tam. And witnesses one and two and three and four aren't yet considered to be zomem in regards to nezik shalit. But now, Nimzis Kashlishes Omemis, the Kashlishes, numbers 5 and 6, they came along and said, on Thursday at 10 o'clock in New York, your cow gored. And along come their Edim Hazoma, who say, no, you were with us in Chicago on Thursday at 10 o'clock. So therefore, now sets 1, 2, and 3, witnesses 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6, have all been found to be Edim Zomemim. So now, Kulon Chayavim, they're all going to have to go and do kashizom lasos, what they wanted to do, which is to make the third one, like Rav Ashita did on the third time, you go and pay Nezik Shalim, so they're all going to go and have to pay Nezik Shalim together. They'll have to go pay Nezik Shalim to the Mazik that they tried to accuse him of causing the damage to the Nizak. And that's what the Pasuk says. That's what the Vegomer is. So here we have a understanding what the Bryce is telling us. Now, what does that have to do with our discussion? So the Gemara says, everything works out great. E amris liya ude sora. Then, if you're telling me that the purpose of the three sets of witnesses to declare this shor to be a shor muad, shaper, then everything makes good sense. Because all three groups of these zomimim, the three tests of Edom Zomim, all tried to make the third one have to pay Nezik Shalim. So it happened on three separate days. We understand that very well. So if you say that the purpose of the Edom is to come to make the Shar a Shar Muad, we understand this very, very well. We turn to Chav Dalet of the days. But if in fact, Eliyarmus Liyude Gabra, this is to go and have the owner know that he in fact has a Shar Muad, so Leimru Hanach Kamai. So then, each of these sets of witnesses could say, listen, Anan, mi have a yadinon, the boss of Shloshi Yomi, Asuhane, mi adilei. The first group that came, one and two, said, hey, we had no idea that three and four were coming. We had no idea that five and six were coming. So if you're telling me the purpose is to let the Mazik, the owner, know over here that he, in fact, has a goring ox, so then one and two said, we had no idea that this was going to be a Sharmuad. We were just interested in making the Mazik pay half damages. Okay, we're found to be Zomimim on that. We didn't tell the truth, so we should only have to pay Chatzi Nezik. We should never have to pay Nezik Shalim. So therefore, it works out very, very well if you say that they're doing it for the Shar. But if you're doing it for the Gavra, it doesn't work out well. They can have a good, valid argument to say, hey, listen, we didn't know about witnesses 3 and 4, witnesses 5 and 6. They're coming the next day. We came on Tuesday. They're coming on Wednesday, and they're coming on Thursday. So therefore, the only way to understand this is if you say it's Liayude Sora, but if it's Liayude Gabra, it doesn't work. Like Mor says, no, you can say it the exact opposite way. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi said, Amrita Lishmaisa Kameh the Rav Kahana. I said this word over in front of Rav Kahana, and he said, you could say it the other way. What? It works out so well to say that we're doing it just to declare the Aksamuad, the Lemru Hanuch Basrai. Because the last witnesses could say, listen, we didn't know anything about witnesses that came on Tuesday and on Wednesday. Anan, Minoya Dinan, the called the Koi Beidino, the Asude Basura Kasu. We didn't know anything about the other witnesses that were coming. Anan, Lechayuvi Garva, Palgun. We were just coming to say this is a short time. We didn't know anything about what happened beforehand. So why is that not a valid response? After all, sounds like it's good. So we'll give three terutzim why this understanding of Rav Kahana is incorrect. Number one. So the Gemara says, Dekom Ramze Ramuze, because there was some hand signals going on over here. There were clearly, as Rashi says, Kloma Liyahudi Sara Nicha. If it was coming just to say that this shor is a shor tam, and now is no longer a shor tam, it's a shor muad, it could even be on one day. Because they could have hand signals to each other to say, listen, we already testified that this is a shor tam, and you're coming along now to go and give this to this guy, that it should be nezik sholim. So, because of the hand signals, we know that everything is going on. And Rashi says, "V'kach shemati." This is the understanding I heard from my rebbeim. So therefore, they all know what's going on. So in regards to saying that the ox over here had gored three times, they all knew what had happened previously. So that's teretz number one. Become a ramze ramuze. Alternatively, again, it doesn't say Amar Ravashi. Ravashi doesn't disagree with the first teretz. He's just bringing a second teretz. Ravashi Amar, Kishubo Ritzufim. No, they all came at the same time. They all came one right after the other. So they all knew what the other one was saying. So therefore, you can't say, the third group can't say, well, I didn't know anything about the other groups. And the third answer is Ravina. Ravina Amar, b'makirin bal hashor, b'makirin es hashor. They knew the owner, they knew the person who owned this shor, albeit they couldn't testify which one of his shvarim actually did this. So it went back into the corral with all the other shvarim. So they saw his ox gore, they were claiming. And at that point in time, he only had one ox, to make it nice and simple. And then he bought other oxen, and now they're all mixed up. So they are testifying that he has a shor muad in his possession. They can't say which one it is. Now, how do we know for a fact there that he is trying to just make him pay nezik shalem? Because the answer is that if it was just chatzi nezik that they were trying to make him pay, then you have to take that from the specific shor. That comes mi gufe de shor and not mi aliyah. As we've discussed previously, you pay from the actual shor tam. You go and sell that shor tam, or you evaluate what that shor tam is worth, and you pay from that shor tam itself. Here, you don't know which is a shor tam. So obviously, the purpose of the third group of witnesses is to make it nezik shalem. Now, the bottom line is, where it says, El hechem yadile, if they don't know which shor it is, so then how do you make him have a shor muad if you don't know which one it is? So it gets very simple teretz. The Gemara says, the Amrei Torah Nachana Islach Bivkarcha. You have in your corral, in your flock, you have a goring ox, and therefore you have to watch all of them. Iboy Loch Linature Lekule Bakra. And you have to go and watch all of your oxen. And Mistama, the one that gores, is the one that has previously gored, and therefore that's what they were trying to do to make him pay Nezik Shalim. So Rav Kahana's attempt to say that you can't learn it this way is incorrect. We gave three terutzim why Rav Kahana is wrong, and the bottom line is, as we had said previously, that it's the purpose over here is liyaude sora. It's to make the shor itself into a shor muad, regardless of whether the owner knows about it or not, and not to inform the owner specifically. Albeit the pasuk does say, and this is the problem with the shita, the pasuk does say v'lo yishmerenu b'alav, that the owner doesn't watch it, implying that the owner has to know about it. That you can't say it's a shor muad if the owner doesn't know about it. No, so this is a kasha on the shita, and there are terutzim for it. Okay. Mari asks another question now. Ibailu, the answer in the base of Medrash, what about Hamishasa Kalbo Shel Chavero Bachavero? You go and cause the dog of Reuven to go and attack somebody else. So, Mahu, what's the halacha in this situation? This guy caused Reuven's dog to go attack your uncle. So, who's responsible here? The guy that caused the dog to attack? You know, he growls in front of the dog. He pushes a stick at the dog and hits the dog. So, the dog goes and attacks somebody else. So, who's responsible in this situation? The one who is mishasa, the one who incites this dog to go and attack? Or is it the owner of the dog? Mahu, what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Mishasa Vadi Potter, the person who incited this dog to attack, he hit the dog with a stick and that made the dog jump and go and attack somebody. So that person is Potter. Why? Because we have a famous rule in Nizokin that Groma bin Nizokin is Potter Midine Adam. That if you all you did was incite or cause a damager to go and damage, so Midi Shamayim in regards to, if you want to reconcile between you and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you better pay, because you really are responsible for that. But a Beis Din cannot take that into consideration, and Groma B'Nizokim is Potter. So therefore, in regards to the guy that incited this dog, the Meshasa, he's Vate Potter in Dine Adam. Again, Midine Shemaim, he should pay. However, Baal Kelev Mai, the Halacha, does the dog owner have to pay? It was his dog, after all, that bit the other guy, that attacked the other guy. So is the Baal Kelev chayev or not? My, that's the question they asked the Beis Medrash. Do we say, me, Amrinon, Motzi Amale, Ano, my Abdinale? After all, the dog owner can say, listen, what did I do? I didn't do anything to you. This guy incited my dog to attack you. What did I do? Or maybe we say, Al Dilma, no, Amrinale, we say to the owner of this dog, you have a dog that could attack people. You have a pit bull. You have a dog that is well known to go and attack. So you should have watched it carefully. Kivan the yadas bekabo de mishasile umishtase. You know that your dog, if somebody hits it with a stick, if somebody growls at it, it's going to incite this dog and go attack. So you should have watched it better. Therefore, loy boy, lo leshuye. You should either have watched it better, which may be very difficult, or you should have gotten rid of the dog. You should have euthanized the dog. You should have sent the dog out to the wild because you knew this was going to happen. That's the question that they asked. What's the halach in this situation? Can the dog owner say, listen, what was I supposed to do? I didn't do anything. This guy incited my dog. Or we say, no, you have a pit bull. You know that the pit bull could attack people. So either euthanize it or get rid of it. But watch it carefully. Do something. But when it does damage, then you're held responsible. So Amar Zera, Rav Zeira says, our Mishnah is the answer. Toshma, we learned it on Mishnah. V'tam shehiyu hinokos mimashishim bo ve'enu nogeyach. That is no longer a muad. It reverts to being a tam. This was the shita that we brought down in the Mishnah. That was the opinion of Rav Meir and the Rav Yossi. That says you don't wait 3 days. If the children are annoying this bull and it doesn't gore, no, mistama, it no longer is a shor muad. It is now reverted back to being a shor tam. Now, that's what the Mishnah said. However, it implied, ha no geyach, if the kids annoyed this bull and it did go and gore, so then you would be chayiv. So therefore, who would be chayiv? Not the little kids, must be the owner of the ox. So therefore, the owner of the dog, if somebody incites his dog, he's held responsible. Says Lav Dafka. I'm Rabbi Miktani Nogach Chayiv. It doesn't say that in our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said that it reverts to be Gitam if the children incite it, if the children annoy it, and it doesn't gore. But if in fact it gored, so then all it is that it's no longer a tam. But you can't hold the poor guy responsible when the kids annoyed his ox. Dumo honagah lovi tam. All they're telling us is that if the shor goes and is menagayach, so it's no longer a tam. However, who says in this situation, b'hai negicha, lo mechayev? Who says that you're chayev in this situation? Because the kids incited the bull, so therefore you're not chayev maybe. So therefore, you can't bring me a raya from our Mishnah. What the din is, the mishasa kabo, is the owner of the kelev chayev or not? Try again, Toshma. On the following Mishnah, we'll try to bring a raya. It's a Mishnah Sanhedrin. We already had this earlier in yesterday's shir. So it said there, Shisa bo esakelev, or Shisa bo nachash. If a man incited a dog to go and attack, or he incited a snake to go and attack, so he said, Potter. Now, who is Potter? My love, Potter Mishasa isn't the Mishasa Potter, but Chayav Baal Kelev, the owner of the dog, or the owner of the nachash, they would be Chayav. Oh, asked and answered, Hamashasa Kabo Shel Chavero B'Chavero, Mahu Daloch is it Yechayav? No, said, like we pointed out yesterday. No, not necessarily so. Ema Potter Ab Mishasa. The Kelev owner, certainly he's Potter. What did he do? But even the Mishasa, because Grom Ben Izokin is Potter, even the Mishasa is going to be Potter. So we can't bring a Raya from there as well. So we don't have an answer. But Rava says, Amar Rava, if you want to say, let's say you wanted to say that, in fact, that the one who incites Reuven's dog to go and attack somebody else, so the owner of the dog, Reuven, is Chayev, what happens? She saw who? The Atzmo. What happens in the situation where Yankel goes and incites Reuven's dog, and then Reuven's dog attacks the guy, attacks the inciter? So then, Potter, in that situation, the owner of the dog is not going to be chayev. Because, my time, why not? What's the reasoning? Kol mishaneh ubo acher vishina bo Potter. Here you have the owner of the dog. He shouldn't have maybe kept this pit bull around. Okay, he was mishaneh for what's normal. But the inciter, the guy, Yanko, who went and incited Reuven's dog, and then Reuven's dog bit Yanko, well, he also did something wrong. He was Shinabo. He did something that he shouldn't have done. And therefore, in this situation, Potter, even if you wanted to say that normally, is chayev, if Reuven were have his dog, was incited by Yankel, and it attacked Shimon, then Reuven, the owner of the dog, would be chayev. But if Yankel incited Reuven's dog, and then Yankel is bitten, so then Reuven is Potter. That's what Rava says. Now, Rapapa wanted to tell us now that Rava is in accord with what we learned in yesterday's shiur from Reish Lakish. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava. Rav Papa says to Rava, Itmar mishmei de Reish Lakish kavaseh. Ah, what Reish Lakish said is exactly like what you're saying. Now, what did Reish Lakish say? Remind ourselves where it says. Dama Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, Shtei paros b'shus harabim. You have these two cows that are in the Rishus HaRabim, Achas Ruvut, so one of them is crouching down in the Rishus HaRabim, it's sitting down, it's squatting in the Rishus HaRabim, which it's not supposed to do, it's Mishaneh from what's normal. The Achas Melechas, one's walking in the Rishus HaRabim, which is the normal thing that you do when you have your animal in the Rishus HaRabim. You walk in the Rishus HaRabim, but you don't sit down and squat in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim, because people are going to stumble over you. Now, so if the animal that is walking, which it has a right to do, is encountering this revutz and it gives it a zetz, it gives it a kick, ubato, the mehalechas gives a kick to the one that's crouching, the revutza, so then ptura. In that situation, you're not chayiv for damages because the one that's walking is allowed to walk there and the din of regel, birishus harabim, is that you're potter. So therefore, even though this is possibly not typical regel, this is in fact Karen, because it's an unusual thing to go and kick, and this is a tolda of Karen, not Regel, but nevertheless, it's in the Rishus HaRabim, and he was Mishaneh, the one whose ox crouched, the Revutza, started off, he was Mishaneh. As Rashi says, they call him Mishaneh, Uboacher Rishin Abo Potter. Ah, so Reish Lakish seems to be exactly like what Rav is telling us. Call him Mishaneh, Uboacher Rishin Abo Potter. So again, Rav Papa is telling Rav, you have Reish Lakish on your side. Reish Lakish seems to be saying the same exact thing that you said. Because only in the case of Uboato Maleches Revutza Ptura, but in the case where it's the other way around, if the Revutza gave a Zetz, the Maleches, then you'd be Chayevis, because here the Revutza is the one that's Mishana, the Maleches didn't do anything wrong, it's not Mishana, so you have a classical case here of Keren, Birshu Sarabim, that you Chayev Chatzin Nezek. If it's the first times that it did this, it had done this multiple times, it was a mood, then you pay Nezek Shalim. So Rav Papa says, Reish Lakish holds like you. Rav says, not necessarily so. Because Rava says, Amalei, Rava says to Rav Papa, I don't necessarily hold like Reish Lakish, because Ana behahi chayuve mechayvina. I, in fact, would say that even the Mehaleches doesn't have the right to go and give a zetz, to give a kick to the Revutza. Why is that? Because the Amrina Lei, I would say to the owner of the animal that was walking, Ki islach rishusa, that which you have the right to do is walk there, lusaguyelai. And if you're walking and you step on him, so then you'd be potter. But who gave you the right to give it a zetz? Levaute, to go and kick this animal that's revutza, levaute be, leslach rishusa. Who said you have the right to go and kick that animal? And therefore, Rava disagrees with Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said that the Mahaleches would be potter for giving zetz to the revutza. Whereas Rava would say, no, in this situation, you have the right to walk and even step on him, but you wouldn't have the right to give him a zetz. So you can't say that Reish Lakish supports Rava, because Rava would say, no, I don't necessarily agree with Reish Lakish. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah, because it's still relatively early in the shir, and we've done most of this next Mishnah previously, so we're going to run through it, and then we'll spend a little bit more time in the shir tomorrow on the Gemara. So the Mishnah starts, Shar HaMazik B'Rishus HaNizak Ketzad. We know, of course, we said many times, that the Mazik has to go and damage in the Rishus of the Nizak in order to be the Nezik, the damages, because in the Rishus HaNizak, he can say, what is your Shar doing in my property? So what's an example of this? Ketzad. So we've had this all previously. Should sound familiar. If he did Negicha, Nogach, which is the goring, that's the classical case of Karen, or any of these tolders of Karen, Nogach, he pushed the animal with his body. Noshach, he bit him. This is not Shane, because he's not getting any Hanah from this. He's not eating here. He just bit. Or Ravatz, Revitza, he sat down on something and crushed something, or bought, or gave it his zetz with his feet. All of these are toldos of Karen, and Birshus HaRabim, if this occurred in the Rishus HaRabim, so then, Mishalim Chatzin Nezek, Karen, even in the Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be Chayiv Chatzin Nezek. And therefore, Birshus HaNizak, that's where we have the machlokis. This is the famous machlokis between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim. So in the Rishus HaRabim, Yechayiv Chatzin Nezek, because these are toldos of Karen. But in the Rishus of the Nizak, Rabbi Tarfon comes along and says, Nezek Shalim. Even though it's a tam, even though it is a short tam, and it has never before done Negicha, Negifa, Neshicha, Revitza, or Be'ita, but now, even as a short tam, Rabbi Tarfon says, in the Rishus of the Nizak, Nezek Shalim. Whereas the opinion of the Chacham himself, it's a short tam, so Chacham Omrim Chatzin Nezek, only pay Chatzin Nezek. Now, what's the rationale for Rabbi Tarfon? Omrim Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says to the Chachamim, listen, Uma b'makom sheheikel al hashein v'al regel b'shus harabim shupater. For shein and regel in the shus harabim, we expect the animals to go there. They're allowed to walk there. Regel's normal walking. Shein is normal eating. If the animal is going to eat something in the Rishus HaRabim, or is going to walk on something in the Rishus HaRabim, you should have put stuff in the Rishus HaRabim. So in that situation, the owner of the animal that did damage with shein or regel types of damages would be potter. And nevertheless, in the Rishus HaRabim, there's a total ptur, but hechmir aleim b'shus hanizik l'shalim nezik shalim. But if your animal goes and eats something or walks on something in the Rishus of the Nizak, you pay nezik shalim. So in the Rishus HaRabim, potter. But in the Rishus of the Nizak, it's nezik shalim. So certainly Rabbi Tarfon argues, a kal b'chomer, makum shehechmir alai keren b'shus HaRabim l'shalim chatzi nezik. In regards to the toldos of keren or keren itself, there, even in the Rishus HaRabim, play Chatzin Nezek. So, Kal V'Chomer, Alachas Kam V'Kama, Ein Odin, it's a Kal V'Chomer, Shenachmir Lo B'Rishus HaNizak. That we should be Machmir in the Rishus HaNizak to pay L'Shalim Nezek Sholim. That's Rabbi Tarfon's Kal V'Chomer. Again, outside. If for Shein and Regel in the Rishus of Rabim, you have no responsibility, yet in the Rishus of the Nizak, you pay Nezek Sholim, so certainly Karen, which is chatzi nezik in the Rishus Rabbim, certainly should pay nezik sholem in the Rishus of the Nizak. That's Rabbi Tarfon's Kal v'chomer. And as we've answered this previously, here the Mishnah tells us again, Amru lo, the Chacham say to Rabbi Tarfon, no, there's this famous concept called dayo. Dayo, lovo, min hadin, lios kinidon. All you can learn from a Kal v'chomer is as strict as that original din was. You can't make it stricter in the thing that you're learning it to. And therefore, ma b'rishus harabim chatzi nezik, all you can learn is that just like Karen in the Rishus harabim was chatzi nezik, so too, Karen in the Rishus HaNizak can also only be Chatzi Nezik. Ab Rishus HaNizak, Chatzi Nezik. You can't say it should be Nezik Sholem. So, Dayo, Lava Min HaDin, it can only be as strict as it was. It was Chatzi Nezik in the Rishus HaRabim. It's going to be only Chatzi Nezik as a Tam in the Rishus of the Nizak. Ritarfin's not satisfied with that answer. Amalhen Afani. Ritarfin says to them, no, me too. We turn to Chofhei Amal Aleph. Let me rephrase my Kal v'chomer to one that you'll accept. I don't think there's anything wrong with what I said, Tosus says. As Tosus says, the top Tosus on here, Chofei Amal Aleph, Ani. So, L'divrayim Kamar, he's only saying according to you. I think my Kal v'chomer is perfectly fine. It's not a problem with Dayo. But, even according to you, it says that my Kal v'chomer is a problem of Dayo, so, Lo Adun Karen Mikaren. I won't learn out that you said, if Karen in the Rishus HaRabim is Chatzi Nezek, so then in the Rishus HaNizek, it can also only be Chatzi Nezek because Dayo. I won't learn it that way. Instead, Ani Adun Karen mi regel. I'm going to learn out Karen from regel. And that's the Kal v'chomer now. Uma b'makom shehekel ala shevi ala regel b'shus harabim. In regards to shein regel in shus harabim, nevertheless, hechmir b'karen, nevertheless, in regards to Karen, we're stricter in the shus harabim. So, makom shehechmir ala shevi ala regel b'shus hanizak. So certainly, in shein regel, which are machmir in the shus of the nizak, certainly, ein odin shenachmir b'karen. So certainly, we should be machmir in regards to Karen. And here, one could argue, that's what Rabbi Tarfon is saying. We don't have the problem of Dayo. And the Chachamim throw it right back at Rabbi Tarfon and say, no, here too, it's Dayo. Armelo, Dayo, lovu min adin, lios kenidon. No, we still say over here, Dayo in this case. Because, ma b'rishus harabim chatzi nezik? No. Karen in the Rishus HaRabim for a time is only chatzi nezik. So too, ah, b'rishus hanizak, it still is only going to be chatzi nezik. That's the Shita of the Chachamim. Rabbi Tarfon says it's nezik shalom. And Yitz Hashem will pick up over here tomorrow in the Gemara, where we'll discuss these Shitos in more detail. This ends today's share. Everybody should have a wonderful day.